along.
Vihayasa.
By the path in the sky. Or the airways.
Vipraha.
The Brahmana Ajamil. Mahapurusha King Karahai. With the order carriers of Lord Vishnu.
Haimam.
Made of gold.
Vimanam.
An airplane.
Aruya.
Boarding.
Yayao.
Went.
Yatra.
Where?
Shiapatahi.
Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. So translation. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Ajamil boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. So you can repeat. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Ajamil boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For many years, material scientists have tried to go to the moon, but they are still unable to go there. However, the spiritual airplanes from the spiritual planets can take one back home, back to Godhead, in a second. The speed of such a spiritual plane can only be imagined. Spirit is finer than the mind, and everyone has experience of how swiftly the mind travels from one place to another. Therefore, one can imagine the swiftness of the spiritual form by comparing it to the speed of the mind. In less than even a moment, a perfect devotee can return home, back to Godhead, immediately after giving up his material body. So, Sakam vihaya sa vipro maha purusha kinkara hai haimam vimanam aruya yo yatra shriya patihi sa omaganat nirandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So hearing about the airplane and Ajamil traveling an airplane reminds me of a story in Dallas, Texas, when Prabhupada arrived by airplane. He was traveling on American Airlines, not Vaikuntha Airlines, not Garuda Airlines. I arranged for the darshan, and we had many newspaper reporters there. Somehow or other, I had visited all the major news outlets in Dallas, Texas. And there's a video of this, actually. And they were just like snapping. It was like the paparazzi for Srila Prabhupada, which is really nice. So anyway, one of the things Prabhupada said when he arrived, he said, I could have come here by, you know, the airplane, which I came here by, or I could have come here by magic carpet, which is quite an interesting thing, you know. Because usually you don't hear about magic carpets in India. Usually that's from the Middle East, you know, so the Arabian Nights, 1001 Arabian Nights. Or I could have come here by mantra. And so Prabhupada, was asked by the reporter, why did you have to take an airplane? And then Prabhupada commented, making a play on the advertising slogan of American Airlines, because American Airlines, at that time, had their advertising slogan, become one with us, fly with us, you know, like this. And so Prabhupada said, because I wanted to be one with you, which is really interesting. So, but Prabhupada was indicating that as a pure devotee of the Lord, he could travel by different means. He wasn't simply confined, because a pure devotee of the Lord, confined to the mechanical contrivance we know as an airplane or jet or whatever. Because the pure devotee of the Lord has all these different mystic powers. Of course, with material mystic powers, you're limited to how far you can travel. But with spiritual mystic powers, then one can actually traverse this whole universe and go through the coverings of the material universe, and then ultimately end up at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, one nice metaphor given is the Bhakti Lata Bij. I think most of you heard this, that when we come in contact with a pure devotee after many, many lifetimes of wandering in this world, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konna Bhagyavan Jeev, then Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhoy Bhakti Lata Bij, we come in contact with a pure devotee who plants the seed. Bij actually means seed, it doesn't mean creeper. But it's the seed of the creeper, of devotion. And that seed comes from a pure devotee. It doesn't come from Krishna. It's interesting, according to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, that Krishna himself doesn't give bhakti. Of course, we could say ultimately everything comes from Krishna. Ham sarvasya prabhu matak sarvam pravartate. But he has delegated that particular giving of bhakti to Srimati Radharani and her expansions and her representatives. And representatives, of course, is the spiritual man, pure representatives. And so when one comes in contact with a pure representative, then one gets that seed of the creeper of devotion. Mm. And that contact is through sound vibration. That's actually how it occurs. Shushushro Shradananasya Vasudeva Kataruchi. And I remember in my own life, can't say pastimes, but in my own life, that was just hearing Prabhupada on the radio chanting Hare Krishna, which is interesting. I mean, sometimes people criticize and say that, oh, you have to be physically present with a pure devotee to actually get the sound vibration. There was even one of our godbrothers who made that particular point. He said, well, actually, if you got your initiation, second initiation, from Prabhupada through a tape, it's not bona fide, you know. You have to actually be in the same location. But the pure devotee, whether he speaks through a tape or speaks through a body, they're both mechanisms, yantra. And this really, or through a telephone, there's actually no difference. It's the sound vibration coming, Goloka era, Premadana. Purinama Sankirtana. It comes from the spiritual world. And so, I mean, that was how I got my Bhakti Lata Bij. How I got my seed. It's interesting, seed. Then it began to sprout. In the beginning, the seed sprouts without too much water, but then you have to keep watering it. And according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared himself to a gardener. And he said, as a gardener of this Bhakti Lata Bij. And then he's talked about how as a gardener he had to be, to water properly the seed and to guard against weeds choking off the sprout. Those of you who like sprouts, like mung bean sprouts or bhakti sprouts. It's better than mung bean sprouts. And so, or especially wheatgrass sprouts. So that weed, or the weeds of desire for profit, adoration, distinction. I mean, there's all these weeds. Of course, we call them anarthas too. These weeds, they can choke off this bhakti lata bija, and even one can, without the guidance of a devotee, can confuse the weed with the actual creeper. I mean, because I'm not an expert gardener, sometimes I go into a garden and I say, well, that's a beautiful plant. They say, that's just a weed. I say, look at that nice, well, it's just a pokeweed. Of course, some weeds are edible. New Vrindavan in the early days, all we ate were pokeweed, pokeweed soup. You know what that is? It was very healthy, actually. So sometimes weeds are good for you. But the Bhakti Lata Bij is choked off by the weeds, or people confuse the weeds with the Bhakti Lata Bij. So one has to be a very expert gardener and associate with expert personalities. So this Bhakti Lata Bij, it's described as you water it properly, avoiding the offenses, obviously, and then it grows taller and taller and taller, and it actually pierces through the covering of the material universe, which is what we're reading about here, and reaches the Lord's lotus feet and offers flowers at the Lord's lotus feet. So that's our process of devotion. So it's a very quick thing, because here we're talking about traveling, practically speaking, an unlimited amount of through an unlimited amount of space and time, and coming to the Lord's lotus feet, which is incredible. Because not only are you traveling through space, but you're traveling through space-time, as Einstein talked about. Because the time actually is different in each and every level. Like we know, like one moment in Lord Brahma's planet is like one like instant, is like a year in the Earth planet. Because when Lord Brahma hesitated for a moment after he had stolen the coward boys and calves, and he came back, a whole year had passed at that particular juncture. Or when Revati was looking for a husband for his daughter, and he went up to Lord Brahma, and then like millions of years had passed, and everybody he knew, and everybody who knew them, and everybody who knew them had passed away. And so finally, he made it down in time to marry his daughter to Balaram, right? Fortunately, he didn't wait another second, or else it would have been too late. So anyway, so one has to go through time and space. I mean, it's really interesting. And of course, yesterday we were talking about this whole principle of a portal, in which enables one to transcend time, space, and enter into a different realm, practically just by moving a little bit. So yesterday we talked about tirthas. A tirtha, of course, is a crossing place or a portal, and how the temples and the holy places in India are these portals that allow you to cross over very quickly. But let's talk about another mechanism today, which is the chanting of the Lord's holy names, which opens up portals. It's like you watch scientific science fiction movies, sometimes you have these different... What was this? Oh, Gopal one time had me watch a Superman movie. And there was some device that opened up a portal in space so the demons could come and attack the Earth planet. And the whole idea was to close the portal in space. Anyway, somehow or other, he engages me in these nectarian activities. So anyway, so the chanting of the holy names is sort of a scientific mechanism by which the portal can be opened up. And that was brought... That is brought to mind by this nice story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I wanted to tell some details about how Gopakumar, by dint of his chanting of Krishna's names, of course he was chanting the Gopal Mantra, which is composed of Krishna's names, he was able to traverse all the different regions of the universe very, very quickly. I mean, didn't even take time to go from one region to another. So basically, let's start over the higher regions of the universe, because he didn't really go to the lower regions. He wasn't interested in that stuff. He actually started on the Earth planet in Vrindavan as a transcendental coward boy. He was born in right next to Govardhan, in fact. And so somehow or other, he hadn't yet reached perfection, even though he was born in Vrindavan. And then he was looking for perfection. Of course, everywhere he went, as we mentioned yesterday, even when he went to Vaikuntha, they wanted him to change his body. And to that of Vaikuntha Vasi, or when he went to the heavenly planets, they wanted him to change his body to that of a Brahmin. And he kept refusing because he was very attached to his body as a coward boy. And that very self-same body became transformed into a spiritual body without him having to leave his body, which we mentioned yesterday is a very unique circumstance. That's not going to happen for any of us in this room. That, you know, somehow or other we're going to get on the Vaikuntha airplane and this body is just going to like morph into something spiritual. It's not. The idea is chaktva deham. Just like that. Chaktva means to give up. So it's very similar to the word chuck. You know, when you chuck your body, you chuck garbage out. So we should be thinking like that. Chakva deham. Deham means body. Punar janma naiti mameti sojuna. So when we, gets to be time to go back to Godhead, which for me will be like billions of births, but for all of you, a little less time, then we just chuck the body away. One has to be, in other words, so detached. Prabhupada was talking about this yesterday. It was really interesting. Prabhupada said when you make advancement, I mean, not to offend anybody, but then you'll be disgusted with sex life, which is actually the entangling force in this world. I was reading that, and I was just like shocked by Prabhupada's, you know, explicit description like that. They said it'll be disgusting to you. So in other words, you know, it's like, just by like throwing off, or another example is given, just like you flush the toilet down. And there's some stool there, so that, not that you should think negatively about the body, but it's just like, you know, you'd be happy to give it up. Like throwing away a piece of garbage. You know, anyway, there's many descriptions, not to get scatological with people, but it's, you know, it is biomucus air, and it's not such an attractive thing, although it's nicely packaged. At least when you're young, it's nicely packaged. When you're old, the packaging starts to get wrinkled. Wrinkled and yellow, or whatever color, you know, it becomes. But anyway, so chakwa, or chuck, you chuck the body away, and then you go back to God. Anyway, so Gopal Kumar, he didn't have to chuck his body away. He had some special dispensation from the Lord. As we mentioned yesterday, several other devotees did, like Tukaram and others. And so he was traveling from one planet to another just by chanting his magic mantra. Because a perverted reflection of that is some of these movies where you have some magician who chants a mantra. I'm not going to mention the names of the movies. And then he's able to do so many things. So we have our magic mantra by which... And the mantra that we have is actually like a touchstone, desire tree. Nama Chintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. We don't realize that. Chintamani, like the Chintamani stone. Prabhupada describes what a Chintamani stone is. It's not just that you can turn things to gold like Mr. Midas's stone. You know, he even turned his wife to gold, which is probably an improvement. But it's not... he didn't think so. Anyway, so he was... It's not like simply a Midas stone, but Chintamani stone is a stone that can fulfill any desire that you have. Can you imagine that? If I said to you, I have this stone here, and if I give it to you, any desire you have will be fulfilled. You'd say, wow, can I have one, Maharaj? It's also another thing interesting. I was with some of my New Age friends, sometimes they have all these different stones and crystals and everything. They do different things. They say, use this crystal to make you rich. I even have a crystal in my bead bag because it's supposed to protect me. So, yeah, they gave me this, they carry this in your bead bag. It'll protect you. Anyways, we're so superstitious. So, imagine this, a stone, you know, someone had a stone that, where, whatever you wanted, you just had to, it's like Aladdin's lamp, you know, magnified a million times. You know, you rub the lamp, a genie comes out, so you wish is, my desire. It's like that book, The Secret, or the movie, The Secret, you know, where a genie comes out, you just want something, and the universe is your servant. That's very attractive for people, isn't it? That, movie, I saw the movie somehow or other. Why did I see the movie? I don't know. It was in an airplane or something. And the universe, the universe becomes your Aladdin's genie. You just rub your brain and the universe pops out. It says whatever you want, you can have. So, but a touchstone is even better. And so we don't realize that we have this touchstone right now. And that Nama Chintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that is the Krishna's name. It's a touchstone. So whatever you want, of course, you should want something that's good for you. Whatever you want, I mean, Krishna is fulfilling that, giving you intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to your desire. So basically, you should want something good for yourself. I mean, I remember I was in Vrindavan. One time I wanted something that wasn't so good for me. I mean, I said to Krishna, I said, Krishna, make sure that I don't go on parikrama with these devotees. Because I was very aggravated. There were just like two ladies on our parikrama trip who were yelling at each other. That's why I don't take tours around anymore. Because it's like babysitting, it's like romper room. And I'm like Captain Kangaroo. So, so anyway, so then Mother Krishna Prima remembers all this. So it's like, so I said, Krishna, I don't want to make an arrangement so I don't have to go out with these devotees. And next thing I knew, I was in the hospital because Krishna made the arrangement. So you have to be careful what you desire with the holy name. Anyway, fortunately, Krishna, it was just a small spanking, literally. not wasn't death, because that could have been the arrangement. So in any case, so when we chant, we actually have that same dispensation, same benediction that Gopakumar has, which is interesting. I mean, he got his mantra when he was in Braj, and he didn't even know what the mantra meant, but he had some faith in the mantra. He was given his mantra by his guru, who was an incarnation, his name was Jayanti, actually. It was an incarnation of Krishna. And then his guru just disappeared. I mean, he got initiation, and then 2 seconds later, the guru disappeared. And a few times later, he met the guru. But just by that faith in the mantra, he was able to achieve complete perfection. So let me describe what some of the things he was able to do on his way back to Godhead. Okay, first thing, after going through all these places on the earth planet, he heard about the heavenly planets, how the Lord was worshipped and the Lord was always present in the heavenly planets. So he chanted his mantra, boom, and he ended up in half of it, Melmunt, in Swarga, that's Indraloka. And there he saw Garuda and Narada, and of course Indra was there. And he saw the Lord Vishnu being worshipped by Bhrigu and the sages. And he was amazed at that. And eventually, of course, it's described that he took on the position of Indra, which is interesting, because Indra committed a great offense. And in addition to be able to traverse all these worlds, he actually became the king of some of these worlds, like Indraloka, for example, because Indra had committed an offense. I guess it was with Ahalya, who was Gautama Rishi's wife. And so he took over that position, but then he saw that in Indraloka there was something else going on. There were some higher beings, and those higher beings were from Maharloka, the Prajapatis. In other words, Prajapati means those people have a lot of kids and populate the universe. They're considered higher than Indra and the demigods, which is interesting, because they have to take responsibility for all their children, which means all of us, because we're actually coming from the Prajapatis. Like Manu. Manu is the original Prajapati. Just like you have in the Bible, you have Adam and Eve, so that was Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, and his wife. And from everybody, all of us came from them. So anyway, so he saw the Prajapatis being worshipped by the demigods, and he asked the demigods, who are these Prajapatis? Who are these people? And the demigods didn't want to say anything. Why? Because they were envious. So even in the higher planets, you have this envy there. Because they were envied, because they were being worshipped, the higher beings, the Prajapatis were being worshipped, and the demigods didn't want to tell Gopakumar there was someone higher than them. So basically, Brihaspati had to tell Gopakumar, there is someone higher, and those are the Prajapatis. So then Gopakumar chanted his mantra, Hare Krishna. Oh, I know what the mantra is, but I'm not going to recite it in class because I don't want any of you traveling. We need your help here in the temple. We need your help here in the temple. You know, we have a lot of deity worship. So then he went to Maharloka, and where the Prajapatis are, and there the Lord of Sacrifice was enjoying the offerings being offered in the fire. So it's continual in Maharloka with all the Prajapatis. The method of worship of the Lord is just continual fire sacrifice, 24 hours a day. But then he was with them, and then one little boy came, and he was being worshipped by the Prajapatis. And of course that was Sanat Kumar. And Gopakumar was thinking, who is he? Must be higher. So I want to join him. So then he chanted his mantra, one half of an instant. He ended up in Tapaloka. You see how someone could travel like this? Really interesting, by the use of the mantra. We could also do that if we had faith in the mantra. The question is, we don't have that faith, and we're committing offenses. He didn't commit any offenses. He had complete faith. He was very simple. He wasn't very philosophical. Which is interesting. He wasn't philosophical at all. In fact, each and every place he went to, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that that Sanat Kumar was actually from Tapaloka. He just had to ask questions each time. And he was just a very innocent boy. So that's also illustrates the point that to go to the kingdom of God, you have to become like a child. Very, very innocent. Of course, that doesn't mean we shouldn't learn philosophy. We should just be stupid. But we should be innocent like that. Not proud of our knowledge. Because knowledge has this tendency of making you very proud. Many things make us proud. So-called good birth and a so-called good family. Or money especially makes people proud, like Manigriva Nalakuvara. Last night we were talking about Shankachuda, who was an associate of Kuvera. So we have to avoid this pride. We have to just become very simple. Simple means we have to be served. Like I gave the example the other day about Lord Jesus Christ. Two of his apostles came to him and said, we'd like to have a high position in the church. And he said in Aramaic to them, because they spoke Aramaic, that no, you should have a particular position. I forget the Aramaic name or word. He said, and that name he used was like waiters in the restaurant. In other words, you should be servants. So that is the humility that we should always be cultivating, the humility of servitude. Anyway, so then Gopal Kumar chanted his mantra very sincerely and submissively, and he went to Tapaloka. And Tapaloka, he was a little disturbed because he couldn't see Krishna. Everything was based on meditation. And the sages said, seeing Krishna is not so important, just like close your eyes and meditate. And of course, at one point, they actually touched him in a certain way, and he was able to perceive in his meditation, but still he wanted to see Krishna. And so then, the sages described, there's even a higher place than where we are, and that place is Satyaloka, where Lord Brahma lives. So then he chanted his magic mantra, went to Satyaloka, went to Lord Brahma's abode, and there he saw, again, the Mahapurusha, the thousand-armed Lord Vishnu with Lakshmi, and being worshipped by Lord Brahma. He fainted, and Lakshmi picked him up, brought him before the Lord. And eventually what happened there, by chanting his mantra, he became Lord Brahma. So he really went through a whole bunch of interesting experiences just by chanting Hare Krishna, or chanting the names of the Lord. He became Lord Brahma, and because Lord Brahma ran away. The reason Lord Brahma ran away is that there was a demon created from the foam or something like that. And the demon, he got scared of the demon. He didn't have complete faith that Krishna was going to protect him. Even though the Mahapurusha form of the Lord was there. So then, as he was in Satyaloka, he heard about, what was happening outside of the universe. And so he was thinking, maybe I should go outside of the universe. But then they describe that there's eight coverings of the universe, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, bhumi, rupa, and lo, vayu, kamano, etc. This is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. And then even the Lord said, you should go and pierce through the material energy, all the coverings of the universe, and reach a place called Mahakala, which is interesting. Mahakala means the great time. Mahakala. That's like the causal ocean, just on the shore of the causal ocean. And then the Lord said to him that, after you've gone through all these places, satisfied all your desires, you'll end up in Vrindavan anyway. So it's interesting. Sometimes we want to go on tour and see so many different places in India, but we're going to end up in Vrindavan. So why not just go there and stay there? I was thinking about that. Sometimes devotees ask me, because we used to do these tours of South India, why don't you take tours of South India anymore? I said, I just want to stay in Vrindavan because I'm going to end up there anyway. Why do I need to go anywhere else? Because everywhere else is an expansion of Vrindavan, which is true. I mean, all the Vaikuntha planets are expansions of Vrindavan. The residents of the Vaikuntha planets are expansions of the original personalities in Vrindavan. And even the demigods are expansions of the personalities in Vrindavan. I mean, sometimes they're empowered expansions, and sometimes they're actual real expansions. or, you know, the same personality. So anyway, so to make a long story short about Gopa Kumar chanted his mantra again. And first he went to Vrindavan to get qualified so he could pierce through the coverings of the material universe. And when he went to Vrindavan, he saw his spiritual master again. His spiritual master disappeared, and he started to chant his mantra even more enthusiastically. And then he fell into the Jamuna River. And when he fell into the Jamuna River, he started to pass through all the different planets that he had passed through before. You know, the Satchaloka, Maharaloka, Tapaloka, in the blink of an eye. Just like it's being described here about Ajamil. And so anyway, and then he went through the first covering of Earth, and Earth covering, there was Lord Boar, who was the presiding deity, worshipped by Bhumi, and Lord Boar was rotating all the opulences of the universe in his tusk or something like that, and they asked him to stay. Bhumi asked him to stay. He said, "No way, I'm going back to Godhead." Then he went through the water, which is Matsya Avatar, fire, Surya Narayan, air, Prajuna, ether, Aniruddha, ego, Mahasankarshan, and then finally the Mahatattva Vasudev. And then he came to there's another covering at the outside, which is called the covering of Prakriti. This is like the Pradhana. And it's a blue color, and the goddess of this Prakriti is Mohini Murti. The incarnation there is Mohini Murti. And she said so in other words, Gopa Kumar was tested at each stage to see what his desires were. Mohini Murti said, "Stay here. I'll give you all the mystic powers." And Gopa Kumar said, no, I don't want to stay here. I just want to go back to Godhead, but you can give me a tour of the place." So he asked for a tour, and he saw all the living entities there were made of pradhan, which is the unmanifested stage of the modes of nature. And they have different forms, which are made of the five ton munchas, the forms of raw perception. I mean, don't ask me what that is, but that's what's described. Finally, he reached the Mahakala, and it was so bright, and the presiding deity there was Brahman. And he started to get sucked into the Brahman effulgence. There was like a Brahman vacuum cleaner there. But he had no intention of merging into the Lord's effulgence. So it's described that the Lord uses toenails, pulled him out with the beams of his toenails. But he was confused. I said, "Is this the goal? You know, after going through all this, am I supposed to merge into the Brahman effulgence?" And then he remembered the instructions of his spiritual master. And as he was remembering that, he saw someone coming on a bull who was naked, had three eyes, a half moon on his forehead, a trident, and a bone necklace. And his bones are described as the bones of the sages. When you see Lord Shiva, actually, he has the remnants of the sages' bodies around his neck. So it's not just some gruesome thing that he just has bones around his neck like some native in the South Pacific. Or like he's bones through people's noses and stuff like that. But he had the bones of the sages, and he appeared like, Gopa Kumar thought, "Is this a big sense gratifier? He's sitting with his wife naked on his lap. You know, what's happening here?" But then Nandi explained who that was, and Ganesh also explained who it was. And they said, "You should go to Vaikuntha." And the only way to go to Vaikuntha is by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and the different forms of bhakti yoga, the Nava Bhakti, you know, the other eight forms. Nava Bhakti means nine forms, but there's eight forms, including hearing. That means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, etc. And the best way to go back to Godhead, this is actually an interesting instruction by Lord Shiva, he says, is by Sankirtan. He says the Sankirtan is the superior way of going back to Godhead. So then, Gopa Kumar entered into the spiritual world. So there's a lot more to that story. But the point I'm making here in relationship to this verse here about Ajamil is that we have the ability to traverse through the different coverings of the material energy and go back to Godhead through the chanting of the Lord's holy name, specifically The Sankirtan, the congregational chanting, or Sankirtan also means complete absorbed chanting of the Lord's names. So, any questions? No? Okay. Just go on Sankirtan. You're wasting your human form of life. You're doing that today anyway. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.